Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am south of Bangor in Augusta, speaking with Maine State Treasurer Bruce Poliquin, who, by the way, I knew before he was the treasurer. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle. Good to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. You too.
Thank you.
So, I know you're a busy guy. I read your blog. I'm very impressed. Very impressed, Bruce. I like you better here than I think you're doing a better job here than you could have as governor.
Well, you're nice to say that. There are all kinds of opportunities to help here in state government, Michelle, and it's just terrific to be part of it, and I'm very grateful to the voters of Maine for giving me this opportunity. But we have a terrific governor with Paul LePage. I mean, he gets it. He understands what needs to be done in this state. He uses common sense. He's got a stiff backbone, and he's as honest as they get. So I'm delighted to work with him, and we have lots of work ahead of us. But I'm just thrilled to be here in Treasury. It's a lot of fun. We're working real hard, and we are changing things.
Yes, you are. You want to tell my listeners what's been going on?
Yeah, you bet. Well, first of all, the most important job I have, Michelle, as I view it, is helping all parts of state government make sure that we become very fiscally disciplined and fiscally prudent. We have a shrinking pool of taxpayer money here in Maine and coming from Washington primarily because of the problems they have down there.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, how do we use this shrinking pool of money to help those in our state who are the most disadvantaged? One of the issues that I have here in state government is on the Maine State Housing Authority. It's one of our quasi-independent entities here in the state of Maine that operate outside of state government, but is still connected to us as an organ of state government.
Mm-hmm.
They are responsible for taking federal, state, and local taxpayer dollars to build low-income apartments for those that are homeless and greatly disadvantaged in our state. And one of the concerns I have is that if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, they have built a series of projects where an 1,100 square foot apartment has cost up to $292,000 per apartment. That's almost $300,000 per apartment.
And of whose money is that? Is that tax money?
Oh, yeah, it's all taxpayer money. That's absolutely right. It doesn't matter if you're paying local taxes, state mm-hmm. taxes, or federal taxes. It's all
it's
our money.
It's my pockets,
Michelle.
Right.
Absolutely, it's your pockets. So what we're doing is we have 4 new board members at Maine State Housing Authority. They were appointed by the governor. We've made it very clear that anybody whose term is about to expire will not be reappointed. We're getting new people.
Mm-hmm.
So those 4 new board members join me. Now we have 5 out of 9 votes. And so we're starting to change things. One of the problems we have at Maine State Housing is that it's unlike any other independent or quasi-independent authority in the state, in that the executive director, once appointed, does not serve at the pleasure of the board, meaning that the executive director has a 4-year term appointed by the governor, in this case appointed by Governor Baldacci in 2010. The term serves until February of 2014. And during that period of time, Michelle, the executive director does not report to the board, does not serve at the pleasure of the board. So effectively, this individual is accountable to nobody during that 4-year period. This is very unusual. In fact, it's unique. There's no other authority that whereby the executive director doesn't report to anybody. Now, the good news is that we have identified this issue,
mm-hmm.
and there is legislation that has been submitted. So it is now making its way through the legislative process. So this is a great time for all of us who are concerned about wisely spending taxpayer money to
mm-hmm.
weigh in,
mm-hmm.
and God willing, the legislature will do the right thing. We'll require the executive director at Maine State Housing to report to the board like every other authority, and if that's the case,
yep.
then, Michelle, the board will be able to work much more closely with the staff to make sure we get these changes done. Right now, we can ask questions, we can push the staff, push the executive director as best we can, but we can't force them to do anything.
That must be unique even in private industry.
Yeah, I've never seen this before.
Huh.
I've spent a lifetime, or my professional lifetime, in the private sector until running for governor and now serving
right.
as treasurer. I've never seen anything like this before.
Huh. Nice work if you can get it, I suppose.
Well, I hope we do, because it'll be a real a real victory for the taxpayers and the citizens of Maine to make sure there is some governing body that is overlooking the wise spending of taxpayer money at Maine State Housing.
Right. So that ball is rolling.
Yes, it is.
And what else you got in the works?
Oh, boy. Well.
I know you, so I know it's not just one.
You probably recall from our prior discussions that when we came into positions of leadership here just about a year ago, in fact, Michelle.
It is this week. It is today.
Yesterday, on January 5th, Governor LePage was
inaugurated. I was here.
Took his position.
Yeah.
And then the next day, a year ago today, on January 6th of 2010, he swore me in.
Congratulations. Wow. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
And happy anniversary to us.
Thank you. You're nice to say it. Thank you. In any event, when we came to Augusta, Michelle, we had a real problem. We had a budget here in the state of Maine that was really in tough shape. For example, we had about $1 billion budget deficit facing us, and the governor was very on the mark.
You say billion with a B.
Yeah,
correct.
With a B. Yeah, mm-hmm. $1 billion shortfall. And the governor was very proactive and very direct in making it very clear to everybody in positions of leadership that we are not going to use gimmicks like not paying hospitals $500 million that they were owed.
Again.
We're not going to use a one-time stimulus money that we knew was running out and is now, by the way, gone to balance the budget. What we're going to do is we're going to balance the books straight up, just like they do in the private sector, and tell the truth to the people of Maine what our fiscal problems are. Now, one of the problems we faced last year, and I'm sure you remember this, was we walked into a $4.1 billion shortfall in the pension fund.
Mm-hmm.
These are the retirement benefits that are owed our teachers and our state workers. And we simply had a situation, Michelle, that we just couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the annual payments to pay off that $4.1 billion piece of debt was starting to spike.
Mm-hmm.
Had we done nothing, this year, a one-year payment to that retirement fund would have been a little over $400 million.
Oh, dear.
One-year payment. And then 10 years from now, it was projected to rise to $800 million. So it was currently going to be about one-seventh of our budget, on its way to one-quarter of our entire budget. So we had to do something because we just couldn't afford it. Now, under the governor's leadership, there was a small team of us that that got together and were helpful in reforming the program such that we did not cut anyone's pension check. None of our teachers and state workers got cuts to their pension checks. However, what we did ask them for, and we are very grateful that they sacrificed this way, the rate of growth in their pension benefits was slowed down. And so by slowing down the rate of growth in their retirement benefits and asking new folks in the system to retire at age 65 instead of age 62, that allowed us to eliminate $1.7 billion of this debt. And going forward, we're now spending $200 million per year less going forward. It's a huge...
So is it not growing now?
It is. Well, it depends on what the stock and the bond markets do.
Okay.
Because that has an impact on how it grows or not. The benefits are not growing as quickly. In fact, we've frozen them for 3 years and then capped them beyond that at 3%. And so we're hopeful that the investment pool will perform well. If it doesn't, we're going to continue to have a problem. But right now, that $4.1 billion pension debt is down to $2.4 billion.
Great.
So we still have a big chunk of pension debt, but we were one of the few states in the country that was able to successfully address this issue, and it's less money that the taxpayers will have to pay for these retirement benefits. And frankly, it gives our teachers and our state workers more confidence.
More stability.
Sure,
right.
Because now we have a plan that is more affordable.
So they were willing to go along with this, or did it take a lot, or...
Yeah, I would say that willing to go along with it is
well, I'm looking at Wisconsin, and I'm thinking, well, I don't remember them rioting downstairs, so...
No. One of the ways we're able to solve these problems, I think, Michelle, is this is Maine. and we're all quite civil. I mean, we're very passionate when we come to some of these issues that confront us, because that was a long-term structural problem that we had to fix. But I think that in the end, the teachers and the state workers understood that what we're trying to do is protect the system so it's there for them when they need the money when they retire.
Right.
But at the same time, it can't go on if the taxpayers can't afford it.
Right.
And so everybody chipped in. The teachers did, the state workers did, and I'm grateful for that. And the taxpayers who continue to pay for these pension benefits that they themselves don't get, but the teachers and the state workers do get. So there's a, and of course, teachers and state workers also pay taxes, don't get me wrong.
Sure. But they get them.
But they get them. That's correct.